All right, kids. Yeah. Come on down. If this is one of the first times that you have been here or you haven't been here for a while, one of the things that we do during the year to kind of change things up is what we have what's called a Discipleship Sunday. And this is just where we talk together. We don't just hear and express like to you what we believe, but we believe that as brothers and sisters in Christ, as disciples of Jesus, that we talk together, we learn together, we hear together from the body of Christ. And so we're starting a series called our fall series called the Talmudim. Do you know what this word it means, kids? Do you have a guess? Yeah. Talmudim. Yeah, you kind of like some got some context clues that are going on here. It's not an English word. It is a Hebrew word, and it means disciple or apprentice. Like, we are disciples of Jesus, and we are apprentices of Jesus, which means that we apprentice our life, which means we kind of watch what Jesus does, and then we do what he does. And we talk about that as a church in three ways. Like, as disciples, we want to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus. We want to do what Jesus did. And so this year we're talking about, and to this morning, we're talking about doing what Jesus did. Now, I have a special thing that I want your help with, okay? Kids, you get to decide today. You're going to help me build Jesus' job description. Do you know what a job description is?
Nope.
It's like the things that you're supposed to do, like as a student, you're supposed to do certain things, right? And that Jesus, when he was sitting here by God, he was supposed to do certain things. And so I want some of the questions like that I'm going to ask is like, what did Jesus do? What was he supposed to do while he was here? Do you know any of those things? Heal people, right? All right. I'm going to sit down here and we're going to talk to you. Like, heal. Kids, do you have anything? Yeah.
So, like, to heal means that, for example, it doesn't just mean if someone got hurt and the doctor healed them. It can also mean, for example, we sick and then Jesus saved us.
Oh, yeah, you said saves us, right? So, saving, right? He is supposed to save us, okay? What else? What was Jesus supposed to do? Yeah. Help? All right. Yep, help. Let's just add others here. What was Jesus supposed to do? Haley? Yeah, so sin. So rescue us from our sin. What else? What else was Jesus supposed to do? This is it? This is all you got? Yeah, what else? Miracles, right? All right, miracles. What else? What else was Jesus' job description? What are you supposed to do? Yeah, Joby said, show us how to love and what love looks like. I think that's really cool because I think there was a lot of different definitions of what people decided what love really was. Okay, anybody else? What was Jesus supposed to do? Yeah.
Taught us how to do kind things.
Yes. We talk like doing kindness or like what does kindness look like, right? What does kindness look like to people? Yeah. What else? Yes, show us what to believe, right? Tell us the truth. That's a big one because I think there was a lot of questions around what was truth. Yeah. And so Jesus was supposed to tell us what truth was. Anything else on maybe Jesus' job description, kids? Yeah, yeah.
So another kind action is, not always thinking about yourself. Also thinking about
others. Ooh, yeah. Sophia said not just learning, not just to think about yourself, but be thinking about others. And so this is like, other-oriented, right? So when we can be super, consumed with our own stuff, right? Okay, anything else, kids? You got something else? Disciple, all right? I love how even, hey, guys, I think this is a great. Any big kids? Any big kids? What else? Yeah.
So another act of kindness is being helpful.
Yes, to be helpful, to help. Yep, yeah, or giving, right? What does it look like to give help? To give, yeah.
Good news.
Good news. I like that one. Good news. Okay, yeah, Joby, one more. The gospel. I like that one. And what is, yeah, the gospel, right? Any other adults? Is this the totality of Jesus' job description? Whoa. Pray? I like it. Oh man, y'all are gonna, I wrote too big. Yeah. I'm gonna write pray smaller. It doesn't mean it's less important. I mean, some people might like look at it and be like, oh, less important. Yeah, yeah.
Kingdom.
What is the kingdom?
Establish the church.
You teach.
Why?
Oh my gosh. Ah! I need a buddy. Yeah. Yeah. There is a lot of things that are Jesus' job description. One of the things that we want to talk about is this idea of doing what Jesus did. And there's a scripture that the apostle John wrote about Jesus was talking to his disciples. They were asking him a question about when he was going to go to heaven, his resurrection, what they were supposed to do. Like, what do they do in his absence? And they said this. It's up on the screen. It says in John 14, it said this. The person who trusts me will not only do what I am doing, but here's the crazy thing. Greater things. Greater things that's on this list. Because I, on the way to my Father, am giving you the same work to do that I have been doing. This is the same thing that God asks us to do. Jesus is saying, he's leaving, and he gives us to do the same thing. And so, kids, we also have some crosswords that kind of help give more to this theme and what it means to do what Jesus did. But friends, I have a question for you. And this is where we talk together and we learn from one another, and we're helpful to understand not just one perspective, maybe from a staff perspective or a church. But why do you think sharing the gospel is something that so many of us disciples rarely do? Why is it hard for us as disciples to share the good news? This is where we talk to each other. Yeah, I love, Micah's never afraid. Let's go, my guy.
It's scary.
It's scary. What scares you about it? You have to go up to people and talk to them.
They might say that they disagree with me, and then that means I have to talk.
Yeah, yes. So there's that place, if you didn't hear, like, it's scary because you have to go up and actually talk to somebody. I know that, right? Like, we just want to be autonomous, and we want to go in and out with our days. That's it, right? Yeah. Ivy, I saw you had a hand. Okay, we're good. Why is it so hard for us as disciples? Why is it something that we rarely do? Why is it something that's out of practice for us? Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know everybody. Well, not sometimes. Often.
Often. Yeah, I said sometimes. If you're here, knowledge, like knowing what to say in the circumstances, especially with people that you're talking to. Yeah, Ivy. Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, Barry's like, I don't know the answer to the question. And that's why it's like, hey, can you come to my youth pastor? And my youth pastor will tell you, right? Like, invite your friends. Becca has knows it all. Okay, yeah. Terry.
They may not only reject the good news, they might reject you.
Oh. That's a good one. Terry said, it's not only about the rejection of the good news of Jesus, but then now you're threatened to lose that relationship. I don't want to jeopardize that sometimes. I don't want to lose that. Yeah.
Persecution. They
Yeah, that question, if you like, let it simmer in your mind. If they crucify Jesus, what does that mean for me? Right? Like, what does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
they'll start having a bigger eye on you. Like, what are you doing? I'm going to catch you in that sin, catch you in being not nice and being a jerk. Yeah. Yeah, vulnerability. That's really hard, right? Actually being, stripping down the masks that we wear, right? And, you know, things like we put on social media or first interactions with people, first impressions, we want to make it really good. Yeah. Yeah.
The church has sometimes made it hard and scary. More scary.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like it's scarier or knowledge. Like my father did a whole adult Sunday school about Romans Road. Like, and you had to memorize it. Like that's exactly, it's the only way, the only right way to do it. And everybody's like, some people are like, I have a terrible memory. Yeah.
I think that a lot of people have already perceived notions of what Jesus is or what the church is, and religion has like really put forth a bad face, and Christians don't always do a good job of being Jesus and being these attributes. Like, we're human, and people expect us to walk and talk exactly like Jesus, and if we don't, they're like, well, it's not real. You're not real.
Yeah, there's this dichotomy between what people say is like, I love the quote, I like your Jesus, but not your Christians. That's convicting to me. Yeah.
Mm. Childhood,
yeah, you get to that place where you meet people that have had such a bad interaction with not just Jesus, but I think with Christians, maybe the church, an organization, or they've read the news about things that operate within the church, scandals that you're like, I don't even be near these things. So true. I understand that. That is, I think many of our experiences, and my experience can be too. So I have a question, though. Like, yeah, one more. Even though you've already talked. Oh my God, I'm kidding. Yeah, come on. Talk to me. They assume your convictions and the things that you're tied to by what might ever be the mainstream thought in Christian culture. Yeah. So then I have a question, though. Like, I think this is really important to talk through because I think we get to this place where we're operating out of fear, and Jesus, God said is like the number one thing that he said throughout scriptures, do not be afraid. So I want to like transform and transition our like thoughts and brain. It's like, I have this question. Who was the first person that shared the good news of Jesus, and what impact did it have on you? If you want to share that, who was the person that first shared Jesus with you, and what impact did it have on you? Mother,
grandmother.
Yeah, so much of like mom shared, and so it was so compelling that they wanted that Jesus. Yeah, your grandmother. Yeah, Sunday school teacher. I love it. Yes, the Sunday school teacher is showing up, not knowing what that moment was going to be like, but then they shared the good news. And your neighbor. Yeah. Your youth leaders. God bless the Sunday school teachers, the youth leaders, the neighbors. Yes, people that, I love these answers.
My grandmother, who would write letters to me, always with scripture and encouragement.
Grandmother who included scripture in letters. Yeah.
When I was 16, I was a 16-year-old who was a Christian and challenged my preconceived notions.
A peer came to you challenging your preconceived ideas about who Jesus was. Yeah. Pastor Becca. Hey, good job. Give me a pound. All right. That's why we keep her around, you know. If you had any doubts. That is not the extent of why we keep. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it was my mom. I think it was the first introduction to Jesus. So I have a question. In this stage of life where we're talking about doing what Jesus did, what would it look like if sharing the gospel became normal in our church again? What would it look like if sharing the gospel became normal in our church again? What would that look like? What would that require of us? Yeah. Yeah. Being vulnerable, not just coming here, consuming, and when people ask you how you're doing, fine, I'm good. Yeah. To be vulnerable, to be real human beings. Yeah. Yeah, this combination of having an authentic, holistic life. What you say matches what we do. We also said that that was one of the things that we feared. It's what we say is not often what we do. That's hard. Yeah. What would it look like for us as a church if this became normal practice for us? Yes, the moments of the Holy Spirit moving in you and around you would not just be something that you hold tightly to yourself. Yeah.
We're making friends with all types of
people. Hey, friends in the Pacific Northwest, this comes from a southerner, so I can say this to you. I know you're really proud of the Seattle freeze kind of thing. You take pride in it, it's like, you can't get in here. Well, the way of Jesus supersedes whatever the culture that you live in. Right? For some in the South, like I am, it means me not really nice to your face, but really a jerk afterwards. The way of Jesus has to supersede that, right? The way of Jesus has to supersede that.
What a... Worshiping God joyfully, not only in the building, but just in our lives. Always looking for those opportunities. Seeing others made in the image of God. They're all...
I love that. One of the things that I think is incredibly powerful that we see in the gospel that we often overlook. The ability to see other people. And this is like a reflection, not as a shame thing, but like when we say every Sunday morning, God, give me eyes to see. It's not just to see Jesus, but to see other people. Like, how many people in my life, Austin, do you walk by day without even looking or acknowledging that they are human beings in this world? That's for me. Am I doing it to the person that is my cashier? Is it doing the person that's just working, that I just go by side? Are it people that I'm parking next to? What would it look like for us? Let's kind of wrap this part up. And we're going to move down in time to a response.
Crossing sameness boundaries, relating to people from all different backgrounds.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be the requirement for us to go out of our comfort zone than people that are just like us. Like that, here, let me hear you. Jesus said in the Great Commandment that he sends them to people that are like you into Jerusalem. But he also sends them into Judea and Samaria. And one thing I want to tell you is you have both your Jerusalem, you have your Judea, and you have your Samaria in your neighborhood. You don't have to go very far. And so as we kind of like wrap this section up, again, discipleship Sundays aren't about just conversating with one another. But it's responding to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is speaking and acting right now. In your life, in our lives, in our church's lives, it is the reason we live and move. But before we do that, I want to like make this one thing clear. That Jesus did, and so we do. when I say that, that Jesus did, and so we do. This is all doing what Jesus did. That Jesus did, we do. Means that you have a gifting. Each one of you are gifted by the Holy Spirit with something different. You are called to something like, not all of you are called to be a pastor. But some of you are called to be Sunday school teachers, youth teachers. Some of you are called to be hospitable people that come and nobody sees what you're doing, but you set the table for what people experience. You are all called and gifted to do something, are all gifted to do something that you are uniquely wired by God to do. But you are all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. That there is, and Paul says, like, not all of you should become teachers, or, you know, or deacons, or not all of you should do these things. There are giftings, but all of you are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It is a universal calling that we see in the Great Commandment, or in the Great Commission, to therefore go in all nations, baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded them. And surely I am with you always. Those words are not singular. They are plural. They're you alls, not yous. And so as we transition into a time of response, what you should have gotten, or if you haven't gotten one, you haven't got one? Okay. You haven't gotten it. What you're going to do is you're going to get, let's see if I still have it. Oh, I don't, right here. You're going to get one of these cards. It looks like this. There's a perforated edge. It's the same thing in both of them. And what it is on the other side is that we are committed as a church. I'm committed. We are all committed to sharing the good news of the gospel. Is that there is one person I know that the Lord has ordained you to be in a season of life together, and that we are committed to praying for them, loving them, and sharing the good news of the gospel with them. This is what all the disciples were called to do. They got together weekly in order that they could be sent out to fulfill the Great Commission. And so what we want you to do is to take an opportunity is to engage with the Holy Spirit and to pray and say, who is the person that needs to know the good news of Jesus Christ? And then what we're going to ask you to do is to write the same thing on both sides. Because as a staff and as a church, we want to pray with you. And so what you'll do is you'll complete it, you'll tear it off, you keep one, and you put one on the board in the back. And so as you do, let me pray for you. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, you are here. We are not waiting for you any longer. You are here in this place. Your arrival has changed everything. Holy Spirit, there are people in our lives, and that worship song, that this belief that you can be our God. And the reality is that people that don't know you yet, that they could be God's. That God could be theirs. Holy Spirit, would you burn in a passion in our lives, not just to be those that receive the good news of Jesus Christ, but the desire to share what we have received. So Holy Spirit, come speak. We ask this in your name.